Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think it feels daunting when you're not winning games rather than looking forward, right? Like, it's, I think the thing that feels like when you're in a little tough stretch and you're not really in close games, you know, or you're getting blown out a little bit, I think it feels like winning's a long ways away, and all you got to do is get that win and get the momentum, and things start to snowball the other way. That's what we've got to stop.
Oh, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of David Ross. And he tried something crazy yesterday. He tried to shake up the lineup in a way that nobody on the Cubs, no Cub fans seem to enjoy. And he's going to be on the station, right? Yeah. There is
1 o'clock today.
Yeah, there are some great guests
with Dan and Lawrence. Yeah.
Dan and Lawrence. I got to tell you, it is a reality that whatever is going on with the Cubs, David Ross has become as unpopular a manager as Joe Madden was when he won the World Series. Joe Madden came out of that getting second guessed by everyone, and he went from being beloved and genius to kind of he's crazy and he's got to go. And I think that there are people that we hear from all the time that want to talk about what's next after the David Ross era. In other words, where the team was awful and he was the guy putting it together. Now the team is awful, but we thought it was going to be good, and it's his fault because his lineups are crazy.
That's the nature of pro sports. What the Cubs did was that they raised expectations, maybe gave the impression that this team was ready more than it actually was, gave the impression that this offseason went really well because they were able to surround themselves with veteran talent that started fast, tapered off a little bit. And when that happens, you do look at the manager, because the simplest thing to do is to look at the Cubs' record in one-run games, to look at a bullpen that, you know, the decisions aren't paying off, and you wonder what role the manager, you know, plays in those things backfiring. And also, just the lineup construction is the easiest thing to look at and shake your head and like, what is he thinking?
Yeah.
Murris, 8. Mastroboni leading off. Why? Why? Where's Morel? Where's Wisdom? All these things are understandable. It goes with the job. But also you factor in this. We're coming off of a year, and I'm not saying the Cubs are the Philadelphia Phillies in terms of what this team is ready to do, but the markets, the reaction, the fan bases, that's where the comparisons are apt here. Last year, the Phillies, when they were 22-29, fired Joe Girardi.
That's right.
And they won a pennant. They change managers, and they change the direction of their season. In that context, when you look at the Cubs stuck at 23-30, it's okay and understandable why some people, some unhappy Cubs fans, are asking themselves, hey, what if we change managers? Would we be better off? I don't think we're there yet. I understand the conversation and certainly get the scrutiny, but I don't think we're to the point where the Cubs' biggest problem is with the manager. I think there are other issues. And frankly, you could make the argument, Mully, that as much as you can point to David Ross and some of the decisions that he's making, some of the choices he's being forced to make are because of what the front office has given him. And so if you want to point the finger at David Ross, you've got to point another one, probably at Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer, for the way they put this roster together.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just think what happens in these situations is that you start looking at the manager because the team's not performing in the fashion you thought they were. And I think that, you know, it's hard to ignore that you've got, you know, the guy you just mentioned getting fired sitting in the booth half the time, right? And that might be
how do you process that? Okay, that's an interesting thing. And again, from a fan standpoint, it is impossible to ignore because Joe Girardi is so good at what he does. Yeah. And on Sunday, when Pat Hughes stepped aside or stepped across the hallway or whatever, when he was there for Marquee and he and Joe Girardi were doing the game while Zach and Ron Coomer did the game on the radio for the score, Joe Girardi is locked into understanding this team. He's locked into every game, and he does sound like a guy that is he's more than competent at his job. He's excellent at it. He's excellent at everything that he has done. So, yeah, I guess that's – in retrospect, you know, we kidded about it when he took the job. He's going to be, you know, in a position to second guess David Ross's moves as often as he is in the booth for Marquee. And he's not doing that, but you can understand why fans would see him and say, "Whoa, I wonder what Joe would do."
Well, I think it's fair. I think he's phenomenal as a broadcaster, so it's very hard to think about someone else. Now, if you're following the Philly, with the way Philly handled it, they, you know, promoted a guy from bench coach, Rob Thompson. Mm-hmm. Would that be Andy Green if the Cubs did that? Is that a guy that you would look at? See, the problem...
He has experience.
Well, and I think the problem that I have with all this talk is that... Joe got fired because he was kind of his own man. And... you fire that guy and you get someone that'll listen to you. That's the way these teams operate these days. So I'm just trying to figure out if David Ross doesn't listen to them. I think he does. I think Rossi is doing exactly what they want.
He's a company guy.
He's doing it in unison with them.
I agree.
And so how do you change to someone else and get any different result?
I'm not saying they will or advocating that they should.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the direction they should go.
I don't either.
I think that we're addressing it because it's out there.
Well, people are yelling.
You know, I get a lot of feedback from Cubs fans who are friends of mine and some people who, you know, just want to vent. David Ross is considered one of the problems of this season, why they're 23-30.
I've never heard Dustin say fire Rossi, but he seems to question every lineup that is put out. Right, Dustin? Am I fair about that? You really have problems. You can see it like a mile away, and you will text, look at number one, number five, numbers. Like you will not say anything other than these are the spots you don't quite understand.
There are lots of question marks, lots of things to ask. I wonder now. Wasn't there part of the breakup between the Cubs and Joe Maddon was about that? But I wonder if this was more Theo or if this was more Jed. But they were suggesting or even telling him how to make up the lineup. I'm very curious.
That's Joe Maddon, though.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, that was a long time ago.
But I'm wondering, I want to know, are Carter and or Jed involved at all in the daily David Ross lineups?
There's no doubt they are.
Okay, well,
absolutely.
Right?
That's my point. Well, I don't think you fire him to get to an internal candidate because all that guy would do is listen to you, and he's already listening to them.
Right, but I thought at one point... also, the appeal of David Ross initially, when the old group was still around and the offense was broke, that he was going to grab leadership. A guy by the back of the neck Yes. And he's going to pull a guy in his office. Instead, yes. It sounded like they were just having a gay old time and still celebrating the World Series.
You know, you wanted leadership in the clubhouse, yes. Right? That's what you
Anthony
were
Rizzo was
at the
not
time.
Providing that.
And you felt, I agree, but you felt that David Ross had been that leader before. And the selling point was he had played with all these guys. They trusted him. He could bench Schwarber, and then they'd have a hug, and he'd go back and perform well. That happened. But then when you broke up that team, you had David Ross dealing with a lot, you know, with losing seasons. And now you're supposed to win, and he's under a different type of scrutiny than he was when he was coaching the guys he knew or when he was coaching guys that you didn't feel like
okay.
were capable of winning.
Good points, all of them. And I will be the next guy and maybe the first guy to question some of these lineups because I don't understand Master Boney leading off when he's hitting below 200. And there are things about the bullpen that we can point to. But I think that this is a shared responsibility here. And there's some examples that can't be ignored when you're talking about where to place the blame or the burden for some of these problems that the Cubs have right now. Keegan Thompson is at Iowa. Why? Is that because of David Ross? No. They totally misread how to use him and how to develop him. That's not on the manager as much as that is on the entire player development approach. Christopher Morel took 30 days plus to get here. Why? That was an evaluation based on for the front office, not the manager. And this will sound like a defense of David Ross, and it's not. They're just, remember what these decisions and how collective they are. Zach McKinstry, Steve Stone told this story on the air about him talking to McKinstry in Detroit. He's having quite a year. The Cubs deemed him expendable. And the story does not reflect well on why. Because according to Stoney, McKinstry told him, the Cubs wanted him to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and the Tigers let him hit the way he naturally did with the Dodgers. And look at him now. I'm not going to say that is a big deal, but it's part of the whole picture. And the whole picture being that the Cubs front office is as responsible as the manager for them being in the situation they're in right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue any of that, David. I just think that, and again, Joe Girardi is a different cat, and he's a different guy, and he's got his own ideas, and he would bring a form of discipline that I don't think they're lacking. I think they've got a pretty good group, and I think to me, as I watch them, they're Ross yesterday was desperate to change it up, to stop the losing streak. And the bottom, you play Cincinnati and you get blown out and you've lost all these games. You're just desperate to get something. Now, I listened to what he said in the pregame and the reason that they chose these guys. I didn't agree with it, but he also said something about, the guys with the analytics. He did mention
the small sample size.
Small sample size.
Yeah, and he mentioned the guys, his guys, which leads me to believe it reinforces what I'm saying in that.
I agree.
He's not making this lineup.
No.
By going into his office, turning on some jazz and sipping some wine and figuring out what do I feel like today.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that's what he was doing?
But some guys, whatever, they find their happy place. And they, what am I going to do? It felt like at times, maybe Joe talked about this, that was the way Joe Maddon operated. Every manager has their method. Every manager has their way to go about picking lineups and going and sticking with guys. Look at the Atlanta Braves during the Swanson, Freddie Freeman era. Those guys were the same eight or nine guys, seven or eight guys, almost every day. That's the way some old school managers do it. I don't think that's the way David Ross does it because there's too many resources to mine if you are a manager of an organization like the Cubs, and to ignore them would be a fireable offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's closer to being fired if he would just go rogue on the front office intrusion or intervention or inclusion, whatever you want to call it, than he would if he were to fail by using their input.
I just think it's important that we have that out there because I think regular fans, the way things used to work, you would assume that the manager is the one filling out the lineup. I'm saying the majority of what I see, like the feedback we get with the podcast, the feedback we have on the text screen, the feedback we get is, you know, Ross's lineup, but it's not the Cubs. It's not David's line. It's the Cubs lineup. Yeah. So Carter and Jed and Ross are all a part of this problem if you view the lineup as a problem, most people do.
They are.
Right.
And David Ross apparently is on at noon today, so you don't want to miss that. Ian Happ is on at 11. David Ross is at noon. Nico Horner, 2:30. There's everything you want to hear from your main, you know, Chicago Cubs spokespeople today on the Score. I agree, Dustin, and I think that's why it's important. Look, the easiest thing to do when your team is struggling, especially after the start that they had, is to look at the manager and say, replace the bum. And it compounds, not intentionally, Mully, but what you say about Joe Girardi is just human nature. This guy's got a World Series ring. He's in the booth. You interviewed him for this job that David Ross got.
8 hours. You interviewed him forever.
What did he talk about for 8 hours?
I don't know. I mean, I hope he gave
That's a thick binder.
But don't you think that's a crazy amount of time?
It's a crazy amount of time. It's a crazy amount of time.
It was a crazy amount of time.
But the point being is that so it's easy to say, replace the manager. And I just don't know
I don't,
if that's fair.
I don't think it's fair. I don't.
Not
think,
yet.
I don't think that David Ross assembled the bullpen. And, you know, frankly, the very fact that you got a 9-inning shutout against the best team in baseball is a credit. As someone said, you didn't have to see the bullpen.
I was texting with a friend watching that game yesterday, and before the ninth, the question was posed.
Should they bring in who?
Should you stick with Stroman? I was like, you got to stick with Stroman.
You have to.
Who else would you go to feel good about?
That's what I'm saying.
There's nobody in the bullpen. Cody Hoyer, apparently, on his way back. He's on the way. Help is going to be provided by Cody Hoyer, who hasn't pitched in over a year.
Yeah, I know.
But I think those are things that you look forward to down the road. But yesterday, in the immediacy of that moment, it's like there's nobody that you would hand the ball to and feel like, all right, Stroh's going to have the shutout today after 8 sit-down.
And I mean, you know, when a guy has a no-hitter going and he gives up a hit, you usually kind of stop for a second and wonder if he's going to be okay. He was fine. But, you know, he did. He walked a guy. He hit a guy. I mean, like, he got them all in. But he got 9 innings of shutout baseball in. And that's the headline and the big story, because they couldn't score a run for their lives.
And he was brilliant. And they're the best team in baseball.
And that's the best team in baseball.
And he shut them down.
And
he did it
out
with flair. And he did the little.
He
bounced the ball in the air and the comebacker.
Oh,
I love that.
Come on. That was awesome.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
From him, because he backs it up.
Well,
if you can't back it up, don't do it.
Yeah, he did it because he can do it, as
he
you
can
say.
Do it.
So it's fine. I do think that when you watch this team and you see the way that they're kind of playing right now, there's. You know, Madrigal's a really good example. I think everybody was like, this is not working. Why do you keep rolling him out? And then eventually you acknowledge, yeah, it's not working. I think with the bullpen, they have always figured it out and found a way to make it work. And then when you fail to do so now, it's a huge blow to this team. It just, you know, they've always been able to figure it out, and they haven't yet.
I understand
so
why they would be convinced that they were going to be able to do it again. I respect the fact that they have the past to lean on in that situation, but let's not have our judgment clouded here. It didn't work. It was a bad assumption. This bullpen is not a product of the pitch lab. It is not an example of what they do best. It is a disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest reason they are where they are. Mully, I know the starting pitching, as you pointed out, has not been as consistent as it was. But to me, the consistent inconsistency has been the bullpen more than anything else. And that's why they're 23-30.
Listen, and I totally agree with you. But like one of the complaints yesterday was no morale and no wisdom. Those guys strike out like crazy. Okay, hit home runs, but they do strike out like crazy.
Wisdom just homered on Sunday, though, please.
I know he did.
He just homered on Sunday.
And they didn't play him the next day. I watched. And you know what? You didn't need it because you got one run. And you got bailed out by a great pitching performance.
He better be in the lineup tonight because Shane McClanahan and Kyle Hendricks. And by the way, Shane McClanahan, 8-0.
Yeah. Well,
8-0.
That's just a product, a byproduct of playing for the Rays.
Well, which
they
is
win
it?
Every game.
He plays for
I'm
the
just
Rays?
Kidding you.
Or, they're
or he's
they
one
are.
Of the reasons they're he's the Rays.
Wins don't matter to some. Wins don't matter to some. So.
Oh, boy.
8-0 matters.
Not to
most ERA's people. Under 2.
I mean, let me ask something. Would you rather have a guy who's 8-0 or a guy who's 0-8? As simple as that. That's the
good
question.
Good topic for transition.
Will you sit in then? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 of the Score.
We're mired.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mediocrity.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is a Rick Hahn-ism. I got to tell you.
An ism?
You would work to be mediocre at this point.
Yeah. That would be an improvement.
Don't you have to work your tail? You know, you're 12 games under? Is
yeah,
that
you
it?
Aspire to, me, to be mediocre.
Yes.
They would
mediocre
be,
would be good.
Mired to mediocrity would be an improvement.
Exactly.
I think that's the way we have to look at it.
Is that the goal now?
It probably. Yeah. Until you get to July 4th. And then magically everything's going to be clearer than it is right now. By the way, kudos to you. You picked the White Sox struggling in Detroit.
I hated doing that. I hated that. Kudos. I mean, I wanted them to do better, but I had to be honest. I had no faith in them winning.
I wasn't here. I wasn't here to talk you out of it or into it. So you were on your own in predicting 3 out of 4 losses in the Motor City, and that's what happened. And along the way to losing 3 out of 4 to the Tigers,
jeez,
they got a little controversial with our guy, Ozzy. Can't wait to talk to Ozzy tomorrow. That's always one of the highlights of the week.
Great.
But Ozzy was on the White Sox postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago, commenting on Lance Lynn, who made some gesture after Yoan Moncada didn't make a play?
Like he looked like he had a bite into some foul tasting fruit or something.
It was like we were watching a Little League game, but this is what Ozzie had to say.
Did not, I didn't even eat breakfast yet, guys. Save it. Save it, Lee, because when you was pitching like crap in April, nobody ever showed you up. By the way, this is not the first time. You have 12 seasons in the big league. You're the glue of the ball club. You're the captain. The people look up to you. You got to stop doing that. You got to stop doing that. If you want to get to the playoff, stop doing that. By the way, you want to talk to me, I'll be there Tuesday. I don't want to apologize to you like somebody out there.
It fires you up seeing how
he's... No, because, man, listen, right now they're in a good position to take over. Now you see this for the 10, 12 year veteran, the glue of the ball club. I love the way he talk. I love the way he expresses himself. I love the way he go by his business. But when you see this, no matter who you are, what you do, that's a no. Not because Moncada, people say, oh, you just say because Moncada is your boy. Against anybody.
Yeah.
I got a problem with Alec Fernandez. I stress it right away. You got a problem with me, I have a problem with you. And I make it one error. One of the best shortstop in the league, because I said, oh, really? You got to show me out? Next ground ball here, I throw it right to the stands. Now you have men on second base. Say something.
Ozzie's awesome. I got to tell you, he's so right, though, because Moncada is a really good defensive third baseman who has probably saved Lance Lynn as much as anybody. And if Lance Lynn comes out and walks six guys, should Moncada throw his hands up and make a face?
Exactly. What do the outfielders do? Do they throw their glove in the air when they see the ball sailing over their heads into the stands?
That's right.
When he throws another home run ball?
Right.
Ozzie is, from the best analysts, tell the truth. Ozzie tells the truth. That's what makes Ozzie one of the best analysts in Chicago, regardless of the sport, because of that. What you heard on Saturday, I believe it was, over the weekend about that outburst by Lance Lynn was what needed to be said about an immature outburst by a pitcher who should know better. That's not how you lead.
No.
And I think the problem, though, Mully, sometimes is that when Lance Lynn is dropping F-bombs and celebrating after strikeouts, we celebrate that. And boy, don't you love that emotion he shows. He thinks that he can get away with the other extreme.
Right. You want to swear after you strike someone out.
Fine. Great.
But, you know,
Do
the guys backing you up swear when you walk someone or you give up a home
run? Under the breath.
Or, you know what?
Keep it
never,
there.
Never
outwardly.
Never show up a guy,
you can't
right?
do that.
It's pretty ugly.
It is. And Ozzie was right to call him out.
Yeah.
It took some guts to call him out. And he's also said that when he's there tonight and Ozzie's doing the Spanish language broadcast, he's going to talk to him and face him because that's the way he operates. Good for him, because it's just refreshing to have somebody saying out loud what you're thinking while you're watching it. And when Ozzie said that, everyone's nodding their heads like, yeah, you can't do that. That's not the way you operate.
312-644-6767. Frankie Z is on the road. Hey, Frankie.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, here's what I think the problem with the Sox is, and I've said this before, but this thing with Lynn is a perfect example of it. Who's going to discipline Lynn? Anybody? Because the problem is that I don't think they know who's in charge. Is it Reinsdorf? Is it Hahn? Is it Williams? Is it the manager? When you don't have a clear line of who you report to, you have no line. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I think that's the problem with the White Sox is the players don't know who the hell they're responsible to before their antics get out of control. And anyway, I love Ozzie too, guys. Listen, I'm going to let you go and see if I'm making any sense or not. Love
thanks,
your
Frankie.
Show. Over and out.
Bless you, buddy.
Frankie, thanks for the phone call. I do think this. The big picture question about who's in charge of the White Sox and who's making the decisions that are most impactful, that's a fair conversation, but I think it's a different one. I don't think there's any doubt the nine innings – that we watch on television or go to the game to see, Pedro Grifol's in charge. And you go back to when he pulled Luis Robert for not hustling.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if he said anything to Lance Lynn. He certainly should have. Or maybe you don't have to. It just takes a look or it takes something as a glance. You know when you've crossed a line and you know as a manager when you need to make that point. So I don't agree, Frankie Z, just to this degree. I don't think anybody questions Pedro Grifol's authority to who's in charge during the game. I really don't think that.
But let me ask them. Okay, so Pedro Grifol benches Luis Robert. Does he go after Lance Lynn?
You can't take a pitcher out of the game for that.
Well, no. But does after the game ends, does he call him in the office and say, hey, Lance, you know, you've had some really bad outings this year.
Without a doubt.
And no one's making faith. You think that That's he did that?
No, I'm not sure that he did. I don't want to pretend to know
right.
how he operates because we're not privy to those kinds of things. We're not out there every day. We don't
should
know how
he
leads. Yes, he should have.
Okay.
Because
I
think that's part of the leadership. Yes. You make those tough calls and those difficult conversations. It's tough to call in a proven veteran who is viewed as one of the leaders in your clubhouse and say, you know what? You crossed the line. And hopefully he says, you know what, Skip? You're right.
There you
I
go.
I did.
Yeah. Hey, Lance, you know, love the emotion whenever you have it, except it needs to be positive. You can't show somebody up behind you because how many times, maybe even put together a little video of how many good plays this guy's made behind you. So knock it off if he makes an error. Knock it off.
My sense is he probably realized it. And if he doesn't realize it, then you really have a problem.
Right.
Because then you have somebody who can't acknowledge his own weaknesses.
I love that we're going to talk to Ozzie tomorrow because I want to find out what the exchange was.
I do.
And if they talk,
great
right.
timing.
I mean, it's
thanks,
perfect.
Ozzie.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Ozzie makes it go. It's great.
So the Sox are, you know, they seem to be a team headed in the right direction. They Well, before the Tigers series, didn't you feel better about where they were headed maybe?
I mean, I honestly did pick them to lose 3 or 4.
I know. Okay, so that's a
– So that would tell you,
you
that
are the
I
soothsayer.
Wasn't –
You are
the soothsayer. I wasn't the soothsayer. I just – I don't like the way this team is constructed. You know, you talk about – if you watch that team, too many of the same player, too many of the same guy, and not enough of different players, different guys. And I think they're put together in a really weird way.
They are in a weird way. They're duplicate parts, and now you're going to have to see Eloy Jimenez play right field at a regular basis because of that. I think that's part of the problem when you have guys who don't come through like Colas and
I didn't like the way it is. I didn't like him in left field, and now he's in right field, which I think is more difficult.
It's harder to play, I think.
Exactly.
Here's a question that is out of left field,
oh,
if you
boy.
Will.
Yeah.
How many nights this summer – and we are the unofficial start of summer, do the Cubs and the White Sox play at the same time in the same town as they are doing tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's weird that they're both in town. Yeah.
Strange.
It's better when one team is in the afternoon and then you can jump on the L and you can watch the second.
Like yesterday, you could have.
Perfect.
That would have been ideal to watch the Stroh show. And he got done in like 2 hours and 10 minutes or whatever.
He flew through
that. That was efficient.
Yeah,
and then you had time to get some dinner, take the L. Go to the south side.
Take the L and buy some food at the ballpark. Get some of that antique taco.
Guaranteed Ray Field, one of the best restaurants in Chicago.
Oh, no question.
And go watch the Sox and Liam Hendricks do, you know, have his triumphant return.
Listen, that was the highlight of the game. Watching him walk out in the fourth inning and everybody going crazy. And then watching him go into the game, and it was delightful. It was just a wonderful moment. I don't know how else to say it. You know, his wife being there, his emotion when he saw the tribute. I mean, it is the best thing that's happened this year.
It was a highlight of the year.
For the White
you
Sox.
You give him a pass from a baseball perspective because of all the emotions he had to process for the first time. Maybe it wasn't the most ideal situation, as Dustin points out, but it was – a game situation, and he won just by competing, just by being on the mound, what that represented to so many people. Yeah, so that was cool last night, and tonight both teams back at it at the same time in the same city. We got to find out. I know we're going to talk to Mike Florio, but I want to find out how many times that's going to happen this year.
Yes, we are going to talk to Mike Florio, and you know what we're going to talk to him about? There's a certain owner/QB that should maybe take the field for his new team possibly could. And that's a Chicago guy made good that is going to go down and clear the path for Tom, or is already struggling. And there's rumors that he could be cut because the foot is no good. We'll find out. We'll talk to Mike Florio about that next. It is 80 for Brady. Well, no, we're not that old. But we'll talk to Mike about that movie. No, we'll never mention the movie. I'm sorry I blurted that out. We'll talk to Mike Florio next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's that?
Gator!
Gator!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mullion Hall on 670 The Score.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and we love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us, as all guests do, on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Time to adjust from the long weekend. Don't we all wish that like we could extend that long weekend? It always feels like a Monday and worse than a Monday.
It's Tuesday, but it feels like Monday. You're exactly right. I've referred to it as Monday several times already.
Well, Mike, I got to ask you, this Tom Brady thing is just wild. The idea that Tom Terrific could become the quarterback of his team if something were to continue with Jimmy Garoppolo. And like the rumors about Garoppolo, they're worried that his foot is so bad they're going to cut him.
Well, the reality is, and we obtained the contract over the weekend because there was just enough smoke that I went looking for the fire. And as it turned out, back in March, when they initially negotiated the contract with Garoppolo and gave him an $11.25 million signing bonus, once they gave him a physical, that's when everything went back to square one. And they said, hey, we can't give you a signing bonus. We're not giving you any money whatsoever until you get that foot surgically repaired. He didn't have surgery after the injury happened in right. December of 2022 when he was playing for the 49ers. You got to get it fixed, and we're going to structure this contract where we have no obligation to you whatsoever until you can meet our doctor's satisfaction that you are good to go. So there is a possibility they're going to have an emergency in Las Vegas. Not a probability, but it's at least on the radar screen that Garoppolo's foot's not going to heal the intended way post-surgery. So they would need a quarterback, and right now they have Brian Hoyer and rookie Aiden O'Connell. And then you've got Tom Brady, who's about to be a part owner of the team. Now, one thing we're learning is it's not an easy process to go from owner to player. And it would have to be, at a minimum, a unanimous vote of all owners to allow him to do it. Wow. And I think there are teams that would say, no, you can't do it. So if he's thinking about playing for the Raiders at all, he should defer, delay, maybe even cancel his plan to buy a piece of the team, because I think once it's finalized, it's going to make it harder for him to play if he would choose to do it.
All right, Mike, two simple questions. Number one, why didn't Jimmy G have surgery in December for the 49ers? And secondly, why are other people taking credit for your reporting?
Oh, let's not worry about the second part. I've already said everything I need to say about that. It happens. I'm used to it. I've been doing it for 22 years. But look, there's a bunch of potential reasons why Jimmy G didn't do the surgery. From the Niners' perspective, he's not going to be on the team next year anyway. It's 6-1, half a dozen of the other. He's not going to be ready by the end of the year with or without the surgery. So they probably didn't push him to do it. And he's a guy in the past who has delayed surgery. And let's face it, it's surgery. You know, I used to say all the time, anytime an athlete was going to have minor surgery means surgery performed on someone other than you or one of your loved ones. Surgery is still surgery. So he tried to get it healed without surgery. And one of the wrinkles that's fascinating to me is that 52-hour negotiating window that teams have with the agents of impending free agents, because that's when they worked out the Garoppolo deal to go to Las Vegas with an $11.25 million signing bonus. They did the deal. And then he went and he got the physical and they said, whoa, 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 whoa. So now no signing bonus. I mean, that is a major adjustment where he has not gotten anything. That's how big of a concern this thing is. And now we wait for it to heal. And, you know, maybe he thought it was going to heal without surgery. Clearly it didn't to the satisfaction of the Raiders. And now we'll see if it heals with the surgery.
Yeah, that is a wild story. And like Jimmy Garoppolo, a local guy made good is Duke Tobin. He's from Chicago too. And obviously his father was a part of the Bears organization. And now you look at him, he's got to give Joe Burrow, I think he said a sizable contract. Yeah. Is that the biggest understatement of – I mean, wouldn't – Joe Burrow has reportedly told them, hey, here's what I want. I guess you just match that, right? You don't really argue with Joe Burrow about his value.
Yeah, look, they've made it clear that Joe Burrow is a guy they want to keep for the entirety of his career. They've already changed their business practices and sold the naming rights to the stadium, something owner Mike Brown refused to do forever. He wanted it named after his dad. Now they realize we got to shake the coins out of every couch cushion we can find, come up with the money to pay Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and other great players they're going to attract. The thing that I continue to push about Burrow, and I'm going to keep pushing it until someone does it, and Burrow could be the best one to do it, and Mike Brown could be the best candidate among the owners to do it. Do a contract where we set the dollars aside and we just focus on a fair percentage of the overall salary cap year in and year out. Whatever the maximum is, the quarterback gets X percent, 16.23758. It'd probably have more numbers after the decimal point than pi, so it would look like they actually negotiated something here. But you come up with a fixed percentage. That's what the player gets. The rest of the cents on the dollar go to putting the team around the quarterback. That protects the quarterback against what we've already seen with Patrick Mahomes. The market going haywire, the salary cap going up and up. Mahomes went from being the highest paid quarterback in average per year by $10 million more than the next guy to being $7 million behind the top of the market in just 3 years. The only thing to guard against that is tying the quarterback's percentage to the salary cap. And I hope that somebody eventually does it. And I'm hopeful that Burrow is the one to get it. And I think he's got the power to do it. And I think Mike Brown willing to give a middle finger to the rest of the owners who don't want to do something like that and say, this is what works for my team.
Mike, the Cardinals released DeAndre Hopkins. The Patriots make a lot of sense for his next landing spot. Is that marriage going to happen?
Well, there was a moment earlier in the offseason where Hopkins was being interviewed and he was asked to just give body language and facial expressions to show his interest in a given team. Bills, Chiefs, favorable body language. Patriots, Jets, not very favorable body language. So if that means anything at all, then maybe not the Patriots. And here's the crazy thing about Hopkins. They announced on Friday they were releasing him. He hasn't been released yet. It looks like the NFL processed no transactions at all on Friday. They clearly didn't on Monday. He wouldn't be released officially until 4 p.m. Eastern today. We've seen this before where a team says, hey, we're releasing someone. And then the next thing you know, before it becomes official, they work out a trade. So this is last call. This is speak now or forever hold your peace if you want to try to trade for DeAndre Hopkins and not get yourself into a situation where you're in an active bidding war to try to get him. And look, from the Chiefs and the Bills, and I think they're the two favorites, not only do you get the player if you're the Chiefs, you keep him away from the Bills. Same thing for the Bills. We get the player and we keep him away from the Chiefs. And I think there's value to that for the player if he plays it the right way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he counts $22.6 million under the cap. So if you could trade him, that would be a miracle for them, right? Even if they had to eat some money to do so, that would be awesome.
Well, and the Cardinals may decide we're going to pay some of the salary and the actual compensation this year is between $19 and $20 million. They'll pay some of it and basically buy a draft pick. We have seen teams do that multiple times in recent years. We're not going to get anything for this guy anyway, so we're going to pay some of the salary, get it to an acceptable level, and we'll get back a sixth-round draft pick or a fifth-round draft pick or whatever that cash value equates to. You're using current cap space and dollars to load up with a draft pick for the future. It still could possibly happen before 4 o'clock Eastern today.
100 days till the start of the season, Mike. I hope you take a day
or two. Count down now, Mike.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I just do the old man get off my lawn rant about that? And this is just a word of advice to all the younger people out there. Don't wish your lives away. Oh, it's only 100 days until the start of the season. You got a lot of living to do over the next 100 days. Enjoy every one of them. Football will be there. It always is.
Thanks,
love
Mike.
It. Thank you,
that's
Mike.
Awesome.
Great talking
to you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. Come on.
A little good advice.
100 days.
Embrace every day.
That's not very long.
The countdown. Not very long, but enjoy each one as we count them down. We're still going to count them down.
We should do like a special NFL, just a 100-day countdown.
Yeah, we could.
If it's for five minutes. We'll come up with
some sort of special countdown theme.
Yeah,
because we don't talk enough football on this show.
Never.
By the way.
We need a clock of some tick, tick, tick,
What he's describing from the Arizona Cardinals, he didn't say it, but aren't they tanking?
I thought they were.
I mean,
I thought that was the plan.
Isn't this the active process of tanking?
I like the idea of buying a draft pick if you're tanking. Man. Hey, we got Stoney next, Steve Stone. We'll get a chance to talk some White Sox with him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.